La ilahe illallah, Muhammed Resulullah, Allahümme salli ala Muhammed ve ala ali Muhammed. Selamu aleyküm. I'd like to share with you today a most important topic, and I hope to be able to present to you the essential elements of this topic, and that is flexibility and rigidity, or diversity and unity in Islam. Those of us who were born in this wonderful path, we consider it and take it for granted that what we learned and the habits we were given and shown is the appropriate version. I remember as a child growing up in Iraq, again the same way that we thought the usual rituals, the usual habits, the way we also made dua or breaking the fast or all of the other preliminaries as being the authentic package of Muhammadi Islam. And then as a young man I began to travel and I discovered, no, there are hundreds of other groups all over, especially the Middle East. And I remember many people in India and Pakistan talking about Hamara Islam, meaning our Islam, the way we do it. And this essential puzzle remained with me for many years as to what is it that makes any group or any community think that their version of habits and, if you like, culture is the correct one. And of course, once I began to enjoy and understand the essence of our deen and the perfection of Quran and the perfection of the way of Muhammad, which is both his seerah and his sunnah, I began to realize that we are all as human beings habitual. There are a lot of things that are peripheral to, if you like, the deen, but we consider them to be of utmost importance. So this is a human, if you like, tendency. If we do not make allowance for it, we will always accuse others who may very well be mu'mins and muhsins and doing their best and accepting the boundaries and accepting sharia and all of that, but we still will consider them to be suspect. It's a human issue. It is not to do with the foundation, if you like, of the deen or the Quran. The foundation of our deen is that all human beings are struggling to discover the truth and abide by that truth and refer to that truth and depend on that truth, that there is one creator, one sustainer to whom we all return after death and after a little period of adjustments after death. This is the foundation of the deen. It is the path that reveals how can we liberate ourselves from our, if you like, accumulated idea of our own personal ego and our biography. It is about how different cultures, different languages, different tribes, different times, people can come to this path and attain, if you like, that realization. It has to be experiential. In other words, you and I and he and she need to know for sure that the whole thing is based on the one, emanating from the one, returning to the one. And if I see otherness, these are only outer layers of that light. We do know what the meaning of Furqan is, to distinguish, to differentiate. This is not the right time, it's not the right place, the people do not hear it, they don't have the language. You need to have that differentiation. This is bad, this is good, this is correct, this is not correct, this is haram, this is halal, this is etc. But Furqan, in a way, if you like, is the basic foundation upon which the entire edifice of human quest and desire to know, see the origin of, to see the connectivity of, Once that has been achieved, then Furqan is your background. Furqan is not, you're not all the time looking to see for differences, to judge or be judged. You see the one who has created all, and then you see how this all aspiring to that connectivity that is already there in its origin. So you are a Furqani as a human being. You know, this is not the appropriate way, this is not the correct way, these are the boundaries of, for example, Sharia. But equally you know that the entire purpose is to totally, utterly dissolve in the light of your origin, in the light of your essence, into your ruh. Now, historical background is very important for us to touch upon when we are talking about to what extent is there flexibility in the deen and to what extent there are clear boundaries and clarity into what is completely unacceptable and what is, if you like, in between. We must go back to the time of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Quran tells us, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. These are names we give, these are labels that we give. He was labeled as by the Jews, he was a Jew. He was labeled later on by the Christians that he was also, because the Abrahamic line, if you like, contains all of these thousands of prophets and messengers. The Quran tells us he was neither. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. But he was inclined towards truth, he was seeking the truth, he was a man of truth, and he was a Muslim. And then again the Quran tells us, هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He called you. This is our prophet in the Quran, the voice of truth, says, it was he, Ibrahim, who called us as Muslims. مِنْ قَبْلِ, from before. وَفِي هَذَا, and in this time. So the word Muslim is a generic, is an attribute, is a quality that any intelligent person will realize that you and I and he and she don't have the power. We're not going to last forever. We don't have all the knowledge. We submit to the fact that we only know very little. We submit to the fact that we want to have power. We submit to the fact that we want to have light and joyfulness. We submit to the fact that we want to avoid discord and enmity. We submit to the fact that we want to see unity. Although we know diversity is always there, duality is always there, plurality is always there. So Muslimin, Muslim means he who submits to the inadequacy that I have to work on myself by Allah's rahmah, by the injunctions that we are taught by the deen, so that I am safe from myself. So the Abrahamic line is the foundation, if you like, of our Islamic heritage. And then if you look back at Arabia at that time, 2,000 years ago Christianity began, and there were a lot of Jewish communities scattered, and there were a lot of, if you like, animists all around. And of course, other types of, if you like, peculiar type of local worships of deities and small gods, big gods, and so on. Incidentally, if you want to understand what was the situation at that time, you can visualize all of the divine names and attributes now. For example, Al-Qawi, he who is all-powerful. This would have been in those days, in the pagan times, a god. Or the one who takes to safety, comes again to one of the attributes to do with peace or salam. So at that time, 2,000 years ago, there were lots of diverse, if you like, ways of trying to understand the cosmology of godhood. And then of course, the Jews were by then already scattered quite a bit. They were in Arabia, they were in North, they were in Africa, they were lots of small pockets trying to preserve the Mosaic principles. And then Christianity began to come in until the Roman Empire's 312 after, you know, AD, it became the official religion of the Romans to preserve the Roman Empire that was breaking up. So Christianity was a big help in maintaining, if you like, the Roman Empire for another 200-300 years. By the time our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, he finds a lot of these diverse currents going on. So Islam, as was announced by him, as was declared, so to speak, in the Quran and by his Sunnah and Seerah, was a purification of a lot of nonsense that had crept in. These names you give. Quran also warns us, said, don't fall into that pattern. إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَأَبَاؤُكُمْ. Don't fall into the pattern that would name you and your parents had given it. You think this is correct. You know, these are habitual issues. Why do we like habits? Why do we like traditions? Because it gives us the illusion of continuity. It gives us the illusion of foreverness, of eternity. Because don't you know we have been doing this for hundreds of years? But what if you are doing something wrong for hundreds of years? How do you know? Humanity has been evolving. Humanity in the last few thousand years has been growing rapidly. And humanity has reached a point where now we all know that all human beings are truly emanating from the same source, from, if you like, one Adamic blueprint. We are truly all brothers and sisters. So that truly we belong to a family, meaning essentially each one of us has a ruh, and that ruh is sacred, is from the command of Allah, from the amr of Allah, from the word of Allah. It is a mystery. We don't know what it is. We call it the command of Allah. Kun fayakun. Each one of us carries that imprint of a ruh. It is for that reason we love all of the divine attributes. The all-knower, the all-powerful, he who is everywhere, he who is not subject to time, he who is not subject to space or limitations. We love all of these attributes because these attributes are within our heart and are beaming at us. Then you and I will discover that, no, I am also a human being. I have a beginning and I have an end. There was a birth, therefore there will be death. In the meantime, all what I can do is to excel in my worship. When the Quran, or the foundation of Islam, is that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, to perfect that passionate adoration to He who is ever present. And then we begin to realize that it is incredible that creation is based on diversity, based on duality. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنَ. Pairs, 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 dualities. This is what the nature of creation is. And then we realize that as groups, we are شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا. We've been created as clans, or as, if you like, different nations or different tribes. لِتَعَارَفُوا. So we come to know each other. That outwardly we differ. Those who live in cold climates have a different eating habits, different living habits than those who live in desert. Those who are in cities, they are concerned about looting, about thieving, so they build walls and things. And those who live in the desert, they're not concerned about these things because they can only live in a very easy, mobile type of, you know, dwellings like tents. So their cultures become different. Their habits become different. So these are the outer differences. But if you look at the inner meaning of them, all of it means we all love comfort, ease, certain measure of security, certain measure of reliability, but more than all, we love to be at always at ease with our mind, be peaceful at mind, to be easy at mind, not to be stressed, to have good relationships, to have the best of friendships, not to have animosity. Therefore, we are the same. All of these groups, no matter what color, what creed, what background, we are all desiring the same thing. Easy passage in this life, because we know a day will come that we leave. And we don't want to leave with animosity and anger. That is why it is very disturbing and upsetting for anyone who had a friend or knew somebody or relative and they died without having made up the relationship, if there was enmity between them. It's terrible. One feels guilty. And isn't that wonderful that Allah has designed it that we feel guilty when we have done something that is not appropriate, that does not stand the test of time, that you want to be free, you know, you want to, at any minute you may leave and you leave with ease, or if you stay a bit longer, then again you don't have burdens of what images you have made of yourself, being a generous man. Who has appointed you to be generous? Allah is the all generous. If generosity is easy, great. A time may come that you cannot do it. But you have to also admit and be honest. Say, I'm so sorry. I would have loved to give you, but I don't. Honesty, transparency, openness, readiness to go into your prostration as though you're not going to come out of it. Then you are present. Then you are not vacillating between past and the future. You are the master of the present. You have abandoned into the present. Then we have also the incredible dialogues that went on early on in Islam. For example, the ayahs of قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالُوا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. This was a very important issue at the time of early Islam. The Quran says, tell the people of the book. People of the book are people who believe. It doesn't mean necessarily that there is a bound book between covers. It means people who have had a clear, if you like, revealed knowledge about present reality, about the nature of Godhood, about life after death. That sort of, if you like, cosmology. Tell the people of the book. Specifically also, it really means the Christians and the Jews and few other people who came in just before Jesus as well, Sabaeen and others. They were also influenced within the Abrahamic, if you like, package. He says, tell them, come and let us admit one important issue between us, and that is, لا نعبد إلا الله. لا نعبد إلا الله. We do not worship other than one, other than Allah. ولا نشرك به شيئا. And we don't see other than the one and only one who has created and sustaining and the master of the universe. One. So he says, come, let us discuss. This is all what it is, you know. And then the Quran also reminds us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ لَفِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ. And those who have argument regarding this truth, they are already split out in a far different locations from each other. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعَكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئَكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. The word اختلاف is a very important one. From it comes the word khalifa. From it comes that with khalifa is you're supposed to be, as best as you can, a steward on this life. Why do you kill all the animals? Why do you break the trees? Why? What for? Why? What are you doing to the ecology? Our global mess is a spiritual one, essentially. Because if you are not responsible, you try to immediately be in the headlong, if you like, battle to accumulate instant wealth as far as you can, irrespective of what you're damaging to the ecology and to others. This is the issue. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, if you take any undertaking, any action, think of yourself, you're dying whilst you are doing it. Are you pleased with yourself as you are doing it? Or are you ashamed that no, you wish you hadn't done it? Watch out, every instant, be accountable. With that accountability and responsibility comes inner freedom. Let our accountability to be outer, and that will be balanced by inner ease. And then about this flexibility, we have beautiful ayahs that human beings, the children of Adam, we are all essentially the same. وَمَا كَانَ النَّاسُ إِلَّا أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَاخْتَلَفُوا. Human beings were the same. 3,000 years ago, people were mostly nomadic. They were foraging. There was none of the ease and comfort that we have nowadays in urbanized societies. And they had very little, they could carry also very little anyway with them. And they always tried to be not too far from water, tried to be near whatever sustainable food. Therefore, if they were near oceans and seas, they were easier. There were easier life for them, such as here in southern Africa. The coast in the south was very easy for them. That is why you have thousands of little caves along the wild coast and these areas. People could be protected at night, and they could easily catch some fish and live on. But there was ease. The Quran says people were the same people, one people. There were no animosity. Warfare only begins when you have something that you want to protect and somebody else wants it. In other words, it begins with agriculture. Agriculture was unavoidable because of the number of people began to grow. So that we began to cultivate. Once you cultivate, you have got some surplus, if you like, grain. Once you have surplus grain, the thieves and the highwaymen can come and attack and take it. Therefore, we began to develop warfare. Therefore, we began to develop more and more. Our creativity went for arms and other aspects of destructiveness. That is who we are. For the 100 years, the last century, there had been the greatest devastating and destruction in the world ever. At least known, more than 100 million people were killed during this, essentially the main two wars, and then the subsequent many genocides. 1 million here and 1 million there. Look at us human beings. And look at the population. Within the last 100 years, the population grew anything up to about 4 times. So only in the last 60 years, the population grew 3 times as much. We are now over 7 billion people. We are not careful if we do not have a new, if you like, agenda in life as to improving one's own inner quality, improving how to live with yourself joyfully, irrespective whether you have wealth or you don't, because you now have inner wealth. Then you truly got the key aspect of Islam. Because Islam will have to lead you to Iman, trusting that Allah will give me what I need. So if you are ill, you question, say, look, I am ill, I didn't want it, but what is the meaning of it? Why am I ill? You find that often is because we were negligent. We were not responsible for our intake of food or rest or whatever. So you again get back onto the line through Astaghfirullah. So Islam has a lot of flexibilities in order for us to return back to the inner realization that you and I and he and she are accountable and there is one creator. In the meantime, we have to express ourselves with that regularity of our ibadat. The ayahs that came in Mecca, there are no dispute on them. You know, they are mostly to do with creation, destruction, and in between, and humanity. Most of the, if not all of the Meccan ayahs, is to do with the higher. But once there is a society, as we had in Medina, then you have to have certain boundaries, certain laws. How do you tackle this? How do you tackle that? What about the thief? But there are courtesies within that. You don't want anybody who has done the bit of thievery immediately chop his fingers or his head. It is incumbent upon he who is in that judgment to make sure that he who is hungry is fed, and there is equity in that society, and all of the other conditions. And then if there is some thievery, the person has to be warned at least 3 times so that he improves his thing. So these are the flexible parts. These are, if you like, within those boundaries, there are a lot of flexibilities, because the purpose is not about chopping a hand or a head or whatever. It's about making human beings realize the presence of the divine light everywhere, so that they are responsible, they are accountable, they are cautious, they are in taqwa. They are all the time. So you don't have to remember last year what you did this year or next year. You are aware all the time. You're at all times, if you like, willing to admit mistakes, willing to correct the mistakes, and joyfully acknowledging Allah's rahmah and Allah is all forgiving and Allah is all aware of it. Imam Ali alayhi salam had asked the Prophet, what is your sunnah? And he said, there's a beautiful tradition on that. I picked a few bits of it for you. He says, my sunnah is based on that knowledge is my capital. Reason is my deen. Love is the foundation of all what I do. Passion is my vehicle. Dhikr is my solace. Remembrance of Allah is my solace. You know, we all get in situations where a dear friend sometimes neglect you, or a member of your family is opposing you. This is where the remembrance. Allah has created people in diverse ways, and everybody has to go through their own discovery. And Allah is all forgiving. Are you as forgiving? Are you as compassionate? Then He says, trust is my treasure. As for taqwa, or concern all the time, and awareness, is my companion. And patience is my garment. You dressed up with patience. And He said, as for salat, is qurrat ayni, is what gives me the ultimate delight and coolness in my heart. So we have to take the traditions, the teachings of the Prophet with his seerah, with the way it was applied. Not just trying to use them as sticks to beat other people. Our deen is the most glorious path to save ourselves from ourselves, by Allah's rahmah, to accept boundaries and inwardly experience the boundless. Salaam alaikum.